What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson. I wanted to share this with you.
Do you think you could go the other way and maybe become a bit cold if you don't care what anyone thinks? Your fiance, your kids, you know, those, they're not the people around. Do you not care what they think?
That's the thing about it. You have to have an understanding of what not caring means. If your fiance and your kids don't believe in you, you can't care what they think. That means you chose the wrong support staff. So that's why a lot of people don't understand one another. Your support staff has to be like, if I'm going to go out and do whatever it is, my support staff is, you know, my fiance. And she's like, you know what? You know, I don't think that you should be doing that. I have to take it, you know, why? So I can be open-minded. So why are you saying this? But she's saying it because of her. You know, that's not the right thing. Because I need backing, you know, open-mindedness. I need support. So you gotta be very clear thinking about all that stuff. For instance, there's all these things that are on TV.
Like I said, man, I've said this before. I actually just got a comment about something similar to this. You gotta look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself what it was about that person that you chose. And when you realize that you chose poorly, only then can you free your mind. Can you forgive yourself? Can you learn to let go? Because at the end of the day, when you chose that wrong person for either the sex, the look, you know, the way they made you feel, the easy access, whatever it was, when you start to admit why you hung on for so long, you'll start to take ownership. You'll start to build on yourself. And then you start to look and realize, like, the only reason why that person didn't want you or looked negatively on you is because they couldn't do it themselves. There was something, like, thing about my ex was she always said I was jealous of her. I was actually thinking about this today. Like, anytime I wouldn't give her the appropriate support, she would say, you're only talking to me like this because you're jealous of me. And I would look at her like, why would I be jealous of you? I loved her more than anything. Why would I be jealous of somebody that I was with? And then I began to realize what she was looking for was the support that her parents didn't give her. And that's not my job. That's something that she needs to correct, that she needs to fix. And everything that she was telling me was just nothing more than a projection. So the more I hear about, you know, fuck women and do this and do that, all right, I get it. I understand where that pain is coming from. But just understand is that when I hear you say those comments, when I hear that, it's coming from a place of pain, and you haven't yet taken the steps to heal your heart, to look at yourself and admit what it was that caused, what it was that you did to cause it. Not to cause the arguments that led up to the breakup. Not that. Not the reason why she went out and cheated. Not that. But what was it that caused you to stay? You know, say after she cheated. What was it that caused you to stay, you know, after she lied to you? What was it that caused you to stay, you know, for everything else? And then after you start to admit all that, and you come to peace with that, then you start to realize, oh, this person was fucking broken from the beginning. And the reason why you'll be able to see that is because you admit in your heart that you were broken yourself. You won't have that anger and animosity towards them for breaking your heart anymore, because now you just feel pity for them. You feel sorry for them. Every single time that I ever hear a woman who cheated on their husband, was because another guy was there to help alleviate a lot. Was helped to alleviate a lot of tension at home, to help get rid of her boredom, to help reinforce her ego, to help pass the time. It's always something so childish and insignificant and insecure. Like whatever it is, whatever reinforcement that they needed or whatever insecurity that they had, they chose to alleviate that pain through another means. And again, you just end up feeling sorry for them and disgusted. That's a sign of evolution. That's a sign of getting past all that. When I got back together with my ex, I had done so much work on myself that when we got back together, I was unrecognizable. She couldn't handle it. She didn't want to deal with it. Because I would call her out on everything, and I would fucking not only call her out, but break it down bit by bit, piece by piece, and say, ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're not willing to give me the sign of respect, if you're not willing to do this or to do that, then it shows to me that the only reason why you're in this relationship is for your benefit and your benefit alone. And I'm not here to increase your wallet size. I'm not here to help, you know, your business, or I'm not here to increase your wealth, make your life comfortable. I'm here because I love you. And yes, everything else will come along, but first I need respect. Need it. Like oxygen. Like food. Like water. And when she was unwilling to give that to me, when she was unwilling to trust, when she was unwilling to, you know, not play games, constantly picking on me and berating and belittling me, it got to a point where it's just like, dude, you're not the one for me. And that broke her heart. It shattered her. It just turned her into a little kid who couldn't get what she wanted. I remember when she told me, how come you can't love me the way you used to? And when I told her, because the man that you once knew is hanging from a tree back in such and such city, that guy's dead. Like, I don't want your love anymore. I want your fucking respect. I want you to put me above all your friends. And if you're not willing to do that, then we should just end this shit here, now. So that we don't waste each other's time. So that you can go out and find a motherfucker that you respect. Because as of right now, all you're doing is just treating me like I'm a side bitch. And I don't appreciate that. And that fucking broke her. When I saw her just sink into herself, when she looked shattered and destroyed, when she looked like, fuck, I gotta respect this guy. He doesn't give a fuck about my love. I gotta respect him. She looked like she had never done that before with any man. She literally just looked exhausted the moment I said that. And about, I don't know, 36 hours later, we were broken up. Completely ghosted her on everything. I had no social media, so she couldn't follow me. I had no, you know, I just had my email and my phone number, and that was it. You you know, it, my point is that I was willing to admit where I fucked up. I dipped my fucking quill in the company ink. I fucking tried to do the Captain Save-A-Ho shit. And when I realized that the reason why I did that was because she reminded me of my mom. And I got a thing for girls that are, you know, 5 foot whatever, just tiny. I got a thing for girls with like husky, raspy voices. I got a thing for chicks that are hardworking, blue-collar girls. And then, like I said before, all my friends shack up with single moms because they think that because they have kids, that makes them a good mom. I had that same fucking problem. But when I was finally willing to admit, like, I fucked up dating this girl because she told me time and time again what type of man she was looking for. Not because it was out of love, but it was out of fucking convenience. It would alleviate a lot of her problems. It would help save her life. When I came to that realization, it was like, that was it. I never again looked at her the same way. I looked at her like my equal. I looked at her like, okay, this is the way you want to live your life. This is the way you want to do shit. This is the way you want to, excuse me, I'm drawing a blank here. This is the way you want to live your life, like a business partner. I take half of your shit. I take on half of your burden while simultaneously carrying mine. Okay, I'll do that, but in return, I want unflinching respect. And she wasn't willing to deal with that. She said, "Can I just love you?" And I said, no, I want respect. Because if I'm going to enter this unspoken agreement, this unspoken contract with you, like a business partner, I want assurances that you're not going to leave. It's either marriage or kids, or I don't do any of this at all. And again, she was the only chick that I'd be willing to have kids with. And she made every excuse on the planet. Oh, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not about to spend money on a chick who's I'm not tethered to. I'm not married to you. And I didn't mean married like go sign a contract. No, I meant like going to the church and having a ceremony. I even told her. So this wasn't anything fucking blindsiding to her. And her excuse was, I just got out of a relationship where we, you know, I just got out of a broken engagement. What does that got to do with me? It's got nothing to do with me. That was your choice, not mine, remember? So it's either kids or marriage, or both. But I'm not going to get into this arrangement with you, especially with three kids that aren't mine. You want me to take care of your kids? You want me to feed them? Oh, but they're already grown, and I don't need to do that anymore. Okay. Then either give me a kid or get married or both. She didn't want to do it? Okay. Then this business contract is over. Let's just keep it at fuck buddies and let's just leave it at that. And that broke her. I was like, no, man, this isn't gonna fly the way you thought it was. I'm gonna tell you exactly the way this is gonna go down. Because the last time we did it your way, it was fuck it, dude. When we dated, it was all over the place. One minute we were close as fuck. It was the push-pull, right? The love bombing and then the fucking the emotional abuse. One minute she loved me, the next minute she hated me. And I just had to come to the realization is that this woman only wants to love, but it's hard for her to love when she's constantly looking at plus. She's constantly looking at it in terms of pluses and minuses. And her only way of loving is to spend money, to reward you with money. I took you out to, you know, this really expensive restaurant. I took you out here. I don't give a fuck about any of that. Fuck, dude. I'm here to tell you, man. A hotel room and some sandwiches that are homemade. That was my favorite pastime with her. We'd go to Albertsons, go get a big piece of fucking bread, freshly made. A fucking freshly roasted chicken. And either on guacamole or some mayo, go back to the hotel room and we would make sandwiches together. That to me was the greatest fucking time I ever had with her. We would put lettuce and tomato and we would cut it up together and we would just bond. We would sit there and talk for hours. She was my best friend because of that. Not the fucking money. Spending time with a person that I love and talking to her and bonding over something so simple. Fuck, we could have even done it at her house. Fuck, we could have even done it in my car. We could have done it anywhere. Had a picnic. But instead, no, she wanted to destroy that and involve a waiter and a waitress and fucking like this extravagance. And I'm just like, dude, I don't get a chance to bond with you because there's everybody here. How the fuck am I going to talk to you about shit that I discovered in my life when a waiter's coming every 10 seconds fucking asking if everything's okay? How the fuck can I open up comfortably when there's an entire fucking crowd of people around me? And we didn't have any problems opening up to people. She wasn't really vindictive in that sense of like, I think the only time that she ever threw shit in my face was like when I told her like, dude, I miss my grandmother. Like there were times when I just cry myself to sleep because she was my best friend. And it feels so good to have you in my life because it feels like she put you in my life. Threw that right in my face. She threw that right in my fucking face. What would your grandmother think if you were to blah, 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 blah? You're going to do this to your best friend, huh? And it's like, what the fuck? Where is that coming from? Why? Because I decided to fucking have a difference of opinion because I didn't want to go out that night because I didn't want to spend money because I was correcting her on some of the shit that she was doing. And I had to admit that I picked the wrong fucking girl. I had to admit that the girl that I fucking sacrificed and like my love, time, and attention for was not good for me. I had to admit that. And when I finally admitted it, it was a relief, and I was able to look within myself and see the problems that she had. I was able to see that, the reason why you're like this is because you're insecure about yourself. The reason why you're like this is because your fucking family never gave you any positive reinforcement. The reason why you act this way, the reason why you don't have any respect is because every man in your life let you down. Her brother stole from her. Her dad was a piece of shit. But, you know, well, I mean, not in a piece of shit in terms of... Look, he was a piece of shit, all right? I don't want to get into it. It's very, very dark. But my point is that her family wasn't family. I was her family. And because every man let her down, she treated me like shit. And when I fucking confronted her about that, it's like, dude, I'm not those other men that let you down. So don't treat me like them. Give me a fucking chance to prove to you that I am worthy of listening to, obeying, worthy of respect, worthy of your time. She didn't know how to give it to me because she'd never done that before. And the moment that I would try to like hold her hand, metaphorically speaking, try to walk her through it. What do you think I'm dumb? What do you think I don't know how to do this? Blah blah. It's just like, all right, this is pointless. This is going nowhere. But I had to admit from the beginning that I was doing the same mistake that I did before, picking the wrong girl and expecting her. Now I was expecting her to fucking fall in line because I had the red pill. I was just like everybody else. everybody the fuck else. I had the red pill behind my back. I already knew the warning signs. I've done enough research on narcissistic abuse. I can change her. No, dude. You can't. I'm talking to myself now. I couldn't. And when I finally came to that realization, it was just like, you know what? I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to hold on so tightly to this anymore. And if she chooses to stay, that's on her. And I'm not going to cry over it again. Because I have no more tears left to cry. No more fucks to give. And no more tears to shed. And sure enough, within 36 hours, she fucking broke up with me. And I didn't even bother to text back because I already saw it coming. Why? Because I admitted, like, where did it all stem from? Because I admitted that I picked the wrong fucking girl. Now, the mistake that I made that a lot of you probably didn't was taking her back multiple times. After the red pill rage, after the red pill this, after, and every time she would come back, it's like, dude, you got to go back to square one. If you think that, like, if you think that you're going to be able to just jump in into this relationship without putting in some time and effort and some fucking work, I don't want to hear it. I remember she told me, oh, I'm going to drive to Vegas. And I'm like, sweetheart, I'll pay for your plane ticket. I don't want you driving 8 hours. It's a full-time job. It's a full shift. No. I want you to fly out here. It'll be 4 hours, 3 hours. You know, we could spend more time together. We get to, you know, do more together. And then you get to fly back home comfortably. And it'll be fine. She didn't want to do that. And then she made up an excuse, oh, I can't do it because of this and that and the other. And I was like, dude, get the fuck out of here. I can understand if, like, her business, you know, she booked an appointment for her business. Okay, I can understand that. But she was telling me about all these bullshit, like, expenses and all that. And I just told her flat out, like, dude, I remember you before going to Vegas with a $700 paycheck and a broken BMW. I don't even want to hear it. She said, I'm not that girl anymore. And I'm like, clearly you are. Like, you're not giving me the time and respect that I fucking deserve. After putting up with all that shit, yeah, I kind of deserve it. I mean, not really, but in my mind, I do. I put in the time, the effort, the energy. I put in the work. I wanted to see some of that fucking shit back. And of course, no. Doesn't work that way. See, women can demand what they deserve, but not us as men. In their mind, like, we're designed to just be stepped on, trampled on. We're the workhorse. And when the workhorse doesn't want to work anymore, get a new workhorse. I haven't spoken to her since. It's one of those things, man. I mean, she was a liberal anyway. Well, at least she turned out to be. When she started getting into politics, she started listening to the mainstream media through all of her fucking beautiful conservative ideas out the window. Started hating the military, started hating fucking men, started hating, you know, abortions were okay. And I just looked at her like, dude, who the fuck are you? You're not the woman for me. I think that's where it stemmed from. Why I started to, like, really hammer in into her, because it was like, dude, you're going way to the left. That's not what, like, how, she didn't like that her kids were learning about all that gay shit, but at the same time, she was preaching all this fucking liberal rhetoric. And I'm like, dude, what you're doing is you're walking into lockstep with that. But again, I keep talking about this, and I keep bringing it up, because it's important. I knew that I wasn't going to keep her. And I knew that I made the wrong choice. And at any minute, she could just get up and walk away like she did before. Getting a girl isn't the problem. Getting the right girl, that's hard. Especially now, it's harder than ever. Take a seat. Sit in the darkness for a while. Get off a fucking MGTOW TV for a couple hours and then just look at yourself in the mirror. And ask, what was it that caused me to stay? Go face that demon. So that you can be your fucking weapon and your ally. You'll be able to look past all the insults, you'll look back at all the arguments that you had in the past. And you'll realize like, oh, that's what that was about. She was just insecure. She was insecure about losing me. You know, but here's the thing. You know how many fucking chicks were insecure about losing me while they were simultaneously looking for somebody else? I'm not saying that that's the case for you, the listener. I'm saying that that was the case for me. Because once they realize that, fuck, what if plan B doesn't work and plan A is falling apart? Where does that leave me? I see it all the time, man. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I'm telling you, the longer you look at yourself in the mirror, the longer you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize you chose poorly, the happier you're going to be. You're going to feel free. You're going to feel like you let 1,000 pounds off your back instead of holding on to that pain and that anger and that rage. That idea of stay angry, I can understand what they actually mean by that. Keep that fire underneath you. Don't forget why you fight, but don't let it consume you. Like, far too often I see a bunch of fucking MGTOW dudes on here just shitting on women. And it's like, dude. And I really hate to point this out, but, you know, a lot of the fucking chicks that they shit on have the exact same personality, but on the very people that are doing the shitting, if that makes any sense. You know, maybe not in the same light, but like, for example, the word loyalty means two different things to men and women. Loyalty is a one-time oath taken by a man. Loyalty to a woman is a temporary contract that needs to be renewed every, like a lease, needs to be renewed every 4 or 5 months. And you can only do it so many times. Some women are really good at holding on to that lease. Others, they need it done every month, maybe every week. And you can only do it so many times before it loses its potency, its effect. Before they need to jump to somebody else to feel that loyalty, that word loyalty is fresh again. I don't know any chicks that are ride or die. I don't. I mean, there's Latina gangbanger chicks that swear up and down that they're ride or die. And then in another video you hear them, like that one chick, I forget her name. She's Puerto Rican. She's pretty cute. She's a psychiatrist and she wears glasses. She was on the whatever podcast. Fuck, dude, she's so gorgeous and she has such a great insight. But then she tells you, I don't think I could ever be with the man who doesn't pay on the first date. I understand that the symbolism behind that. But shit happens, man. Sometimes guys are so excited to fucking go on a date with a girl. they fucking forget their wallet. It happens, dude. It happened to me one time. I was in construction and I had like $700. I put the wallet next to the counter. While I was getting ready, I got ready. I walked out the door, grabbed a cab, got out of the cab, and I fucking realized I didn't have my wallet. And I told the cab driver, like, dude, I don't have my wallet. Can we go back to this? Nope. He just canceled, fucking took off, and I was left there, and my date was, like, staring right at me, and it's just like, fuck. And I had to tell her the situation, like, look, man, I don't have my wallet on me. I forgot it at the house. Can we go back there before we go in here? And you know what? She was such a sweetheart. I remember she was such a sweetheart. And I was like, I can't let this go. So we went back to the apartment, grabbed my fucking wallet, and I took her out for drinks. Paid for the whole night. But that's my point. It's like, shit happens. I get it. You know, I don't hold it over you if some shit like that happens to you. Some guys use it as a test. Hey, if I forgot my wallet, is this bitch gonna cancel on me for the next date? If so, she's not the one. Some guys are smart like that. I don't have the balls to do that. My buddy, he's jacked as fuck and he does it all the time. Every day he goes on, he's like, fuck, I forgot my wallet. Fuck, I forgot my wallet. Fuck, I forgot. I'm surprised he's still allowed on Tinder. But that's his cue. He's like, dude, if they pick up the tab, that's the girl I want to fuck with for the rest of my life. All these chicks, they'll pay it, and then they'll never hear from him again. And it's like, good. And that means you would have fucking bailed anyway when shit hits the fan. If you're going to freak out over, you know, a $10, $13 burger, then you'll flip out over anything smaller. But yeah, to me, it's really important to face your demons. I remember a buddy of mine. We used to drink and talk a lot about that. He's like, if you never ever want to tell a woman what you're going through, just tell her you're going through family stuff. Anytime she tells you what's wrong, just family stuff. She asks you what it is, just say, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to move on. And I've been using that for fucking ever now. I'm having family problems. That's it. I can't tell you how many times that's gotten me out of some fucking sticky ass situations where I'm like, fuck, dude, I really don't want to talk about my feelings to this chick. And he was also the one that taught me, everybody's got demons. Everybody. You just gotta face them. When you're alone and quiet, and you're by yourself, that's the best time to face them. Some country shit. Straight up just country shit. And I love them to death because I've always been a big proponent of that, but I have a different set of ways of dealing with that. I have actual skills that I've used in the past that have helped me deal with that. It's facilitation, right? You facilitate yourself. You describe this thing that's this pain that's eating you alive, and well, for me, it's the facts and then the judgment. What is it about that problem that is causing so much pain? What are the facts? The facts are yatta-da-da-da, without judgment. Judgment words are like, it was too hot, it was too cold, it was too this, it was too that. It felt like, it seemed like, it should have been, like, those are all judgments. And then you start to break it down in terms of the judgment. And then you start to sink into that pain. You start to identify the pain. You start to describe the pain. You start to give it texture, color. You start to identify where the fuck it's coming from. And then you ask yourself the question, the big question. What does this remind me of? When have I suffered through this before? And then when you come to that realization, like, oh, I've gone through this before when I was da-da-da-da-da. And then you realize, like, oh, I'm putting on this burden onto this person because it reminds me of this other time that happened to me. It reminds me of this other pain that I went through. It reminds me of the arguments I used to have, like, with my ex-girlfriend. Fuck, dude, it reminds me so much of another girl that I dated. Same principle. Took me for granted, took me as a piece of shit. And then when she was alone and sad and scared or whatever, that's when I was important to her. You know? I didn't mean shit to her before. I didn't mean shit to her before, and now all of a sudden, I mean something. You know, now that I caught her, fuck, you know, that I caught the girl cheating on me, I was going to make her my fiance. And I was like, oh, you're just like every other fucking whore. All right, well, I'm going to need my payment back. I'm going to need to fuck you at least, you know, 400 or 500 more times. I'm going to need you to pay half the rent. And I'm going to need you to just be a roommate because we're emotionally detached now. You fucked that up. When she realized she was just being used just to be a cum receptacle and to pay half my rent, that's when she just like, oh, all right, I need to leave. Because this arrangement is not working for me now that I have to pay. Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. Here's the better part. After you come to that realization of where it comes from, can you forgive them? You have to forgive them. You have to forgive them for being a fucking idiot. Because you were once a fucking idiot. When does that remind you of a time that you've done that before? That's the more important part. When you come to that realization, like, oh, they're no different than I am. That's when you found peace. You either find a sense of completion or you don't. And if you don't, you do it again. You do the exercise again with another time and another time and another time until you feel fucking right. You're going to feel defeated. You're going to feel like, fuck. I fucked up. Like this person, it's going to feel like they were always right and you were always wrong. But that's the point. You need to get there. Because when you realize that they weren't fucking right, when you get to that point of like, fuck, they were right and I was wrong. No, dude. They were just as broken as you were, maybe even worse. And that's why they took it out on you. Because you had the manners to hold back. Because you knew how to love. A man knows how to love, period. He loves with his whole heart. That's why his ultimate show, or his ultimate way of showing love is self-sacrifice in the form of working himself to death or death. That's his ultimate way of showing love. Self-sacrifice. Whether it be through work or through death or working himself to death. And that's what women will never understand or appreciate because everything comes easy to them. I can't tell you how many times girls that are not qualified for positions at the jobs that I do end up getting those jobs. Or they end up quitting because it's just too hard. Fuck. The shit that I do, there's this girl at another company. She's really fucking cute. And a couple of the crew members, you know, at the rival companies, they're all trying to get at her and shit. And I'm the only one that just kind of like sits back, stares, and I kind of smile. Because I know what she's going through. Dude, I go through it. And I know for a fucking fact she's not having fun. Other guys are turned on because it's another girl doing their job. But to me, it's just like, no, dude. She's doing this for her kids. She's doing this so she can get a higher position as a supervisor. She doesn't want to do this forever. I see it. They don't. She's got an exit strategy. And it's definitely not going to be fucking any of the people that do what I do. It's not. She's got a higher standard and a higher goal. And you could see it on her face because she actually looks disgusted every time she gets into, you know, what are they called? Like bobcats or fucking cranes or whatever the fuck it is. Forklifts, you could tell. Anytime she gets in there, she just feels like, fuck, I gotta do this shit. And I smile and laugh. And everybody tells me, like, dude, why don't you go put a move on her? And I was like, what fucking move do you want me to put on her? I could guillotine choke her. I could fucking triangle choke. I could rear naked choke. And they're like, no, not like that, you dumbass. Like, why don't you go fucking, you know. Nah. Not a woman with kids, especially with that attitude. Beautiful fucking Asian chick. She's so cute. My favorite height, 5'4". Big tits, big ass, thick ass little mama legs. So there's like this part in a woman's legs that like it's right by their hips in the front, and it kind of just pops out a little bit. And then it goes into like their quads. That little bump on the top where it meets their hip, it meets their pelvic bone. Just that little bump in the front. Fuck, that drives me crazy. That drives me fucking nuts when a girl has that. It just looked like little teardrops glued his legs. Like reverse teardrops is what they look like. God damn. A bubbly ass. Worst personality in the world, though. You can tell she just fucking hates her life. And I'm not going to be the one to try to save her from that. Are you kidding me? Like I said before, man. I almost died of COVID in a fucking car. In the back of a church. In the middle of the night. I thought that was it for me. And when I made it out the next morning, excuse me, when I woke up the next morning and I realized I wasn't dead, but I was struggling to breathe, I felt so thankful because I knew I was going to make it. I was going to struggle to get up. I couldn't get up. I was weak as fuck and I had to force myself to move. That's how I know what I'm capable of. That's how I know I'm tough as fuck. Because I still managed to get up, go take a shower, get all that shit out of my system, and with my weak and destroyed and tattered body, fucked up lungs, I still managed to go to work on time and still managed to pull off my shift. I did it the next day and the next day and the next day. My lungs have never been the same. This is probably the reason why I'm always going and all that crap on the goddamn recorder, which I'm sorry about. But I know what I'm capable of. And saving another woman is not my fucking problem. And I think that's what pisses her off, is she knows that. She knows she's damaged. She knows she's fucked up. She knows she fucked up. Because all those party years have finally caught up. She's not as spry as she used to be. She's not as attractive as she... I mean, she's still attractive. It's just that the only thing that guys are going to want to... Sorry, I just thought of Jet Li fucking in that movie, The One, when he goes, "I'm nobody's bitch." Yeah, she just looks like she fucking hates her life and she doesn't want to do that job anymore. And I don't blame her. But the good news is that I see it. Why? Because I admitted I like her. I do. I like her. And if it were up to me, if I could just cave in and give in, I would try to do everything in my life to save her. I would work 3 shifts if I had to make her happy. When I'm able to admit that, all right, let me just break it down. What exactly would I be sacrificing for? Ah, an ill-tempered woman with no fucking morals or principles or any kind of fucking ethics, or, you know, no value whatsoever. Values nothing other than just what a man can give her. And it's funny because, like, I remember one day she walks in and she was talking and she was like, "I'm not dating another guy, like, you know, that does what I do. Why? So we could both have, like, 120,000 between us?" And I just looked at her like, "Dude, that's 6 figures, you fucking idiot." You know, before I was making, like, 95. And I just, like, 95,000, I mean. Like, 2 years ago. Like, what a dumbass. She's willing to fucking... Whatever, dude. Women are dumb. You already know this. But yeah. I'm gonna stop because it's already going over the time. But homework. Look at yourself in the mirror. And admit why you got into the relationship that you did. Admit why you stayed. Admit why it was hard to let go. Start fucking confessing to yourself. So you can start to let go of that pain, that anger, that hatred that you have towards women. Trust me, I still have it. It hasn't gone away. It's just dormant. To sleep. Now I just see right through the bullshit now. All right, another quick one. Let me see. Let me see here. I want you to...
Now we need to go over, but that's he was in the lifestyle before.
Right. All right, hold on. Let me...
So it really started about like the lifestyle. I didn't really know.
All right, so this woman's a porn actress and she's obviously hot as fuck, but she's about to describe how she got into, you know, the lifestyle of being a, you know, cucking out her husband, basically.
I didn't really know what the lifestyle was. I was always kind of a promiscuous teenager. I actually got pregnant and married at 18 years old and was married for 10 years and like had 3 kids and never even knew about any of that. But from, you know, like 15 to 18, I was promiscuous and just had a lot of fun, like exploring my sexuality. I was into like lesbian relationships, and then, you know, the rest were just friends and boyfriends and stuff like that. And then whenever I first met my husband, our first night, 7 years ago on like the 27th of this month, actually, it'll be our 7-year anniversary. That first night, we actually ended up having a foursome with another couple. Total accidental. Like, he didn't set it up.
Listen to what she said. Total accidental. He didn't set it up. Watch this. Just watch.
It just kind of happened. And it was our first date. So like at the next day, cause we slept, you know, together that night with the other couple in the morning, I was like, "Can we do this all the time? Like, if we start dating, can we do this all the time?" And he was like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, there's boundaries and stuff that, you know, we need to go over." But, he was in the lifestyle before.
Right.
And he was in the lifestyle. It happened by accident. It was a total accident. Somehow a guy who was in the lifestyle before. Total accident. Do you see what I mean, men? When you're able to look at yourself in the mirror, you can catch this shit. You can catch it. And look, I was only 4 minutes into this. I stopped at the 4 minute mark because I genuinely wanted to know and wanted to hear. I was willing to listen to this entire fucking podcast for her to get to it. And she was just so eager to tell people how she got into the fucking, you know, the porn industry and all the lifestyle and shit. And it was just the first 4 minutes. And I stopped. I stopped watching because I got what I needed out of it. And that's exactly how I approach women nowadays. Why? Or excuse me. I approach women nowadays like that. And I listen to their first few openings. When they ask, what do you do for a living? It's none of your business. I don't know you. When they start saying like, oh, you're really nice. Can, you know, we're friends. No, we're not. Anybody too eager to make your friends or to be friends with you, you need to be wary of. Generally, they're trying to siphon information. And this other shit that she pulled. When you know, she tried to, oh, it was just a total accident. Like, it was our first date. We had no idea. We slept with this other couple. And, you know, he was in the lifestyle before. Ah, interesting. So he had no way of setting that up, huh? He had no way of making it happen. Taking her to a bar that's notorious for that shit, right? This is my point. This is my fucking point. Because I'm able to look at myself in the mirror and accept the fact that I was wrong. I no longer have to fight and battle of why she fucked me over. Now I'm able to admit, oh, well, she fucked me over because she was a loser. And I allowed this loser into my life. And now you can hear immediately all this bad shit. You're able to pinpoint it and almost call it out. All this womanese shit. I'm telling you, the moment that you sit and look at yourself in the mirror and you sit in the dark and you look and you listen to yourself, you go back and you admit the shit that you've done wrong, it'll change your life. Guard your heart.